Going to call the meeting together. We're starting a little about 12 minutes late because of traffic problems people had getting to the meeting. And I would like to start it off with the Pledge of Allegiance by Kelly Gantt. I wanted to introduce board members. And to my far right is board member Greg Gusty from Ukiah. To my immediate right is Kelly Gantt from the Trinity Center. I'm John Corbett from McKinleyville, California. To my immediate left is David Norn from Sebastopol. Next down the line is Jeff Hales from Eureka, California. And on the far left is Valerie Minton from Petaluma. We have as the first order of business the election of officers. I will not be running, so I assume no one has a problem if I chair it. And with that, I will open it up to nominations.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to introduce for nomination the name of David Norn to serve as chair for the coming year.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay, is there any further discussion? Okay, I'd like to call a vote. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, the ayes unanimously have it. We don't need a roll call on that, do we?
We should take a roll call.
Yeah, okay, roll call. I'll stumble out of this job, by God.
Board Member Minton.
Aye.
Board Member Hale.
Aye.
Board Member Norn.
Do I vote for myself?
You always have.
Yeah. He's going to stumble into being chairman.
Aye.
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 Okay. And then did the chairman want to take it over?
No, you follow this
okay.
Through, please.
I will finish it up. Do I hear nominations for vice chairman?
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to introduce for nomination Valerie Minton for vice chair for the coming year.
Okay. Is there a second?
I second.
Okay. Well, Ms. Gantt, please second. That's it, there's a tie. You have a unanimous second.
Just
Did you record one or the other, or you want advice from the chair? Okay, Kelly Gantt, she's next to me. That's what happens. So we now have a valid motion on the floor, and we're going to call the roll.
Board Member Minton.
Aye.
Board Member Hale.
Aye.
Board Member Norris.
Aye.
Chairman Corbett.
Aye.
Board
Member Gantt. Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Well, first I want to say thank you, John, for your chairmanship. You brought us through the Elk River, thankfully, and that we've come a ways with you. You've done a very good job. You've always been a stalwart board member, and I thank you very much for your work.
Thank you.
Very much.
If I may, this is Matt St. John, Executive Officer, and I, too, just want to say, John, how much I've appreciated working with you as chairman over the last 3 years. You helped me as I kind of got my feet under me as executive officer, and it's been a real pleasure working under your guidance and side by side. You're a true colleague and friend, and it's been great working with you.
Thank you.
All right, stumbling on. Matt, would you please introduce staff?
Thank you. Again, Matt St. John, executive officer. To my right is Shinrei Lee, assistant executive officer. And to Shinrei's right is Nate Jacobson, staff attorney, and Elizabeth Barrett is to Nate's right. Across from me, Patty Corsi, and Donna Poe is helping out with sound, and staff will introduce themselves at various items.
Fantastic, thank you. All right, moving down the agenda then, board member reports of ex parte disclosure. It's for board members to report of their interactions outside of board normal process. Any reports?
I have one brief report. I attended the meeting at the University of California Irvine Law School dealing with how to coordinate the Marine reserves with the ASBS, Areas of Special Biological Significance. And for people that don't know, the state board many years ago was wise enough to set up a very extensive marine reserve system. And at this point, the rest and the California Department of Fish and Game is discovering that as a means of coordination. The MPA system is mainly a restriction of take, either 100% or gradated. The California system's pollution and water quality. There's a strong desire to have the state adopt water quality standards. The problem is some of the major factors in the ocean no one can do anything about. And so that's got to be a concern in setting standards. Can they be reasonably met? The other area is pollution. A lot of that sewage discharge. The state board has had a very long-term, pretty sophisticated waiver system on that, and they not too long ago tightened up on that system. The primary effect on us is identifying monitoring areas where it could be important, and we're doing that in Trinidad would be the number one where they have an ASBS and they have potentially septic tank contamination. We're not saying they do, but the Rebecca Fitzgerald got that in our priorities and maybe was ahead of the time of this meeting of this group in doing that. So we're covering that type of situation where we get adequate information for the policymakers. So.
Thank you, John. Other reports of ex parte? I had attended a meeting with staff here. It was a stakeholder meeting with the Lower Russian River pathogen TMDL. It was very good discussion. There's progress being made. I was very pleased with the outcome. There's support from state board on our processes here, and I look forward to seeing where that goes. Moving on, we have state board member Steve Moore in the house looking for a report today. As a reminder, we have public forum next. If anybody would like to address the board on non-agenda items, please fill out a speaker card and give it to Ms. Patty, and we'll hear from you. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning, Chair Noren and members of the board. It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me on your agenda. My name is Stephen Moore. I'm a board member on the State Water Resources Control Board and liaison to the great North Coast region. So I wanted to wish everybody a happy Groundhog Day. Hopefully my report doesn't remind you of that term. My wife said, she works for a forensic accounting firm. She said, isn't that a state holiday? And I said, no. But I think the advocacy efforts on that have kind of stalled.
Yeah, no ducking beneath the table there.
Anyway, so as usual, I'll go over some high-level budget issues that we're dealing with, the state board, some recent issues that we've been dealing with that relate to North Coast, and some upcoming issues that you might want to be part of and are part of and staff is tracking. Just say, you know, it's an interesting time of year. We're actually next week looking at the structure of the emergency regulations we set up for reporting and on water conservation. And there's a lot of, there's a lot of obvious things going on as far as the rainfall to date is one of the wettest on record. And, we're watching that. It's great news. And I'm looking forward to a day where the board meetings that I attend don't have a drought update every meeting. So that's looking good in the future. We are looking at extending some of the administrative aspects of it that have been useful as far as reporting and just reminding folks that it's a good idea not to water outdoors during the rain and things like that. And keep up our conservation effort.
Thank you. I've changed my whole behavior.
Yeah. We like to look at it as like a soft landing. You know, it's been sort of a flight together as a state, you know, into extreme drought conditions and now having a soft landing out of that structure. So we'll continue. You may read about that in the news, but I'd like to think that we're, you know, being looking to the long term, and we're continuing to follow the governor's executive order on setting up long-term water efficiency standards for urban areas of the state. So that's our soft landing proposal. So the governor's budget came out, as it's supposed to, every January 10th, and there are proposals that affect the water boards in the positive in terms of added staff in the irrigated agriculture program, in the timber program, underground storage tank program, all in the order of 5, 4, 7 staff positions and resources. Some resources for the Lower Klamath Dam removal efforts, mostly in the Water Rights Division, and managing the 401 certification associated with the proposal to remove the 4 dams from the Klamath River. And some wrap up on the drought in terms of follow up on needed enforcement activity on issues that we encountered during the drought. Coming up ahead, we'll be pursuing spring finance letters as part of the governor's or part of the budget process in the May timeframe. And between now and then, we write in on other resource needs of the water boards based on input from the executive officers and what we're doing with the chairs. Coming up this Monday, we're going to talk about the budget in detail. Look forward to having you join us if you can.
Can't wait.
Oh, 4 p.m. Monday, once a month, first Monday of the month. So,
all right.
We'll look forward to you participating. John Corbett's been a great participant in the last couple of years where I've been involved. But we'll be looking at resources in the area of the fish consumption advisory work we're doing with OEHA, and obviously the cannabis program with it, with the legalization and the Department of Food and Ag program, et cetera, and our involvement, and in additional work in water conservation, the long-term program. So recently, I want to acknowledge that on our underground storage tank program, we've had some delays in our payment processing last month. I want to acknowledge that, and it's something that we're working hard on to catch up. We had an office move with the state board staff for underground storage tanks, and it created a little bit of a reverberation of delay, inefficiency, but it's something that we're working diligently to catch up on. For those interested in that program, there's an extensive summary of the program in this January's executive director report online at the state board website for those that are tracking the underground storage tank program. Also, we're currently in the middle of a process on updating statewide mercury water quality objectives that are for human health, but also for fish and wildlife protection in terms of accumulation in the food chain. And there are specific scientifically based thresholds that are under consideration. And it's linked to the effort that I've briefed you on about the beneficial uses list of the state. And here in this region, you have adopted the cultural beneficial use. There's interest statewide in that approach. And we're working through an official recognition of tribal beneficial uses, also including subsistence fishing by tribes and subsistence fishing by the general population in certain parts of the state. It links to mercury because of the accumulation of mercury in some fish that are eaten, maybe not even purposefully, but it's what folks catch. I'm sorry, folks eat what they catch in many parts of our state. So we're grappling with that challenge because there's an issue of attainability as well. You know, certain fish like bass accumulate mercury in reservoirs where there are no mercury sources because of atmospheric deposition. So there's certain limitations, you know, that are technical and scientific as far as attainability of some of these endpoints. So it's a difficult challenge that we're working closely with regional board staff and stakeholders to try to manage. We're having a workshop next week to consider these changes, and the proposal is to adopt by the end of the spring. Recently, there were suction dredging workshops you may have heard about. We had 5, and this relates to a Senate bill Was it six? Forgive me here. Okay. Senate Bill 637. And the state board staff, along with Fish and Wildlife, are soliciting input from stakeholders and California Native American tribal interests regarding potential regulation of suction dredge mining in California. So we've had four staff-level workshops. One was in Orleans on January 24th. And so that process is underway. We had four other workshops. There's a lot going on, and your staff would do a lot better job briefing you than me, but on the whole Lower Klamath project and a couple milestones. Officially, on December 22nd, we issued a notice of preparation and scoping meetings for the EIR for the Lower Klamath project. Project License Surrender is what it's known as. And so we've had many scoping meetings this month in Arcata, Sacramento, and Yreka. And comments in response to this notice of preparation are due today. And so this process is up and running. There's a tribal consultation that's involved. The Karuk, Shasta Indian Nation, and Yurok tribes have all requested formal consultation during this process. And so we're in the process, we're in actively working with them to fulfill those obligations. There's ongoing coordination. Your staff are involved with this, but we have regular coordination meetings with Klamath River Renewal Corporation, Oregon Department of Water Quality, and Cal EPA regarding the Lower Klamath Project in our water quality certification process. So we're really grateful for your staff's active involvement in that and the credibility that they bring with the long history working in the watershed. There's also connections with the KBMP, the Basin Monitoring Program, and some key work and presentations by the Fish and Wildlife Service on looking at historic Chinook populations in the area and helping that guide future management. We also just continue to stay active on the California Water Action Plan in-stream flow related work. Three of the five rivers that the governor's office have targeted through that are here in this region. Excuse me. And an issue that's been of great interest here is the Russian River Tributaries Emergency Regulation. And we got some more information through letters sent to water rights holders and landowners, water suppliers here in the four tributaries in the Russian River that we targeted during 2015-2016. And that emergency regulation actually expired last month. We let that happen. Thanks. And but we're going to follow through in in good faith to pull together that technical information. And I'm pleased to let you know, but by the end of this month, we should be able to have finished our internal analysis and assimilation of all that shallow groundwater well data, diversions from small streams. And we're going to share that with USGS, and you're going to hear more about the groundwater surface water research today. And in sharing with them, get their review of our analysis, we think in the May timeframe, we'll have an opportunity to have a workshop here in the Santa Rosa area to discuss what we've the technical findings from all the information that folks worked with us to provide. So this is part of circling back in good faith to acknowledge everybody's efforts in providing this information. It's been a long road, but we're not going to, you know, we're going to fulfill those obligations. So look for that in the May timeframe, and I'll keep you updated. Looking ahead, we're going to consider issuing another bond. You might remember we issued about, it was on the order of $450 million in April last year, because the SRF program for loans and some grants to mostly publicly owned treatment works and collection systems and distribution systems, we've kind of tapped out because we've extended the term from 20 years to 30 years. The interest rates are quite low. We've improved our application process. So now everybody wants to get involved, and that's great. But now we're out of cash for the first time in memory. And so we've already issued the bonds. They got scooped up quickly in April because of the demand out there for socially responsible investments. So we're going to propose issuing another bond this year on the same order of magnitude, and we've all approved up to $1.2 billion total. This would be another $450 million increment toward that, which would get us about $800 million. That's just to keep things going as far as the recycled water work, but also much advanced treatment work in our state. And so it continues to be a pretty successful story. And related to that, next week we're getting an update on the Prop 1 disbursements that we've done to date. There's a nice diversity of that. You might recall that of the $7.5 billion that voters approved in 2014, $2.1 billion of that, a large chunk, is under the State Board's Division of Financial Assistance for both drinking water and wastewater and stormwater, groundwater, and recycled water, and focusing on disadvantaged communities for drinking water and wastewater in particular. So we're going to have the summary. I've seen a preview. There's a good diversity, a good distribution geographically, and also in programs to date. And so we're proud to let the public know that we're moving as quickly but as responsibly as possible in dispersing these funds to do good in our state on water resource sustainability. I just want to assure this board and others that as we grapple with the idea of a statewide winery order, that we're sensitive to lessons learned, experience, tools that are already in place, like here, you've already adopted a winery order. But those discussions continue. We want to be responsive to the industry. One of the benefits of pursuing the statewide order is that it could streamline permitting by incorporating or otherwise addressing requirements in other programs, like other waste discharge requirements in the irrigated lands program, bringing in stormwater industrial general permit conditions, composting general permit conditions. So at the statewide level, there's a way through a general order to try to bring that all in to create better customer service for the regulated community. So we acknowledge that here and in four other regions, there's either processes in place or underway. So we want our efforts to be value added and are listening, to advice as we go. But we are looking to release something in the middle of this year for public comment in about June. And if everything went really quickly, we'd be looking at adoption around September. I'm skeptical. but it could happen. So I just wanted to make staff aware and the board aware of that and our desire to work together. And then quickly, next week we are looking at an update of the water quality enforcement policy. It was originally adopted in 2010, and so we're making some fine-tuning adjustments to the discretionary enforcement aspects of it, how things are calculated in the name of transparency, and lessons learned from the implementation of the existing policy. I look at it as a fine-tuning exercise. I understand we will not be adopting it next week. It will be a hearing. And three things coming up. Staff reports will be released in April for the bacterial standards for ocean and inland surface waters. That would be bringing in the latest EPA recommendations. And it doesn't really affect POTW-type discharges, which are much actually technology-based. This is more for beach water quality and working with the county departments of environmental health and having those endpoints consistent with federal guidance. That's in April. In May, we'll be releasing the toxicity policy proposal for effluent toxicity monitoring. And then also in May, we're going to reissue for the 401 program, the general policy statements for discharges of dredge material and fill to waters of the state. and so other things to keep an eye on as far as policy development. And with that, enjoy the rain. Maybe that could end up being the wettest on record, certainly in this century. And it's a welcome change. I just hope that folks are don't experience the negative effects of flooding too much as we get through this year. Thanks.
Fantastic. Thank you, Steve. Questions for Mr. Giusti?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thanks, Steve. As always, thorough and informative. Just a question. When you talked about the suction dredging, any idea of how many permits or how many claims are in our region, how many people we're talking about coming to these workshops?
I wish I could give you more detail on that. I'm not aware of the numbers on that. Okay. You know, I know that there's a lot of interest in it on both sides of the issue, of those who like to participate in it and those who are concerned about the environmental impacts.
And then it's been banned for a little while.
Right, right.
So that's going to make it harder to get accurate numbers.
Yeah, I was just... If you ever come across that number, maybe you can include that in part of your summary. Thanks.
Yeah, and well, that's the kind of information we're compiling now based on the workshops, so we're getting a better understanding. But we'll continue to look at that, and next time I circle back, hopefully I have some information for you.
Great. Mr. Hales.
Yeah, thanks. I actually second that, Steve. I was curious on how well attended that Orleans meeting was. I didn't know if you were there or not. It's not a real easy place to get to.
In January
particularly, but I guess the other thing too is that we have in the past we've had a lot of testimony before this board on the matter, and I suspect it may, depending on which direction it's going, maybe coming back to us. So as new developments are happening, maybe, and I don't know if that's through you to communicate to Matt, or Matt, if you could keep us give us a heads up if something's, you know, something's changing or developing, maybe an update would be great.
Absolutely.
Thanks.
Yeah. Great.
That sounds good, and it is fresh in terms of these meetings just being rolled out, so that sounds like something we can continue to communicate on.
Well, anything that we have the foresight to stay ahead of on, we really like that.
Steve, in the interest of sharing and staying ahead of things, you mentioned Prop 1, that there's $2.1 billion out, and that it sounds like having accounting to where that is and where it stands and where it's going. I know that's an important funding source for specifically the Russian River TMDL work that we're looking at. And in fact, I think our staff are going towards, or have helped some of the people in that community to start to go towards some of that grant money. As that comes, as that information accounting is made public, can you make sure to disseminate it through Matt St. John, and then it could come through us as well?
Yes, and we at the State Board, really, we asked for this update knowing there'd be great public interest in this, and also for our regional boards. So I've seen the preliminary presentation. It will be downloadable from our agenda next week in terms of the PowerPoint and the graphs and the disbursements, what's been executed, what's in the pipeline, what's been applied for.
Great.
So it's
super important.
Good summary.
Yeah, great. Thank you. That and the State Revolving Fund has just been huge out there and moving some of that forward. Just a point of clarification on the bacterial standard, then, is it a public draft that gets released then in April, and then you're rolling towards adoption when sometimes later in the year then?
That's right, yeah.
Okay.
In the calendar year, we have a date.
That's all right. But won't hold you to it. That's fine.
Yeah, but the release of for public comment is April 17th.
Very last thing, Steve, and you didn't address this. You touched on it, the industrial stormwater permit program. I've heard quite a lot of rumbling recently on my end of the world that there's lawsuits out there using smarts as a data mining process. I've heard of dischargers not even wanting to report because of fear of being sued. My plan today, just to be transparent, is to ask our staff for a future agenda item on this to get a handle. I think we have somewhere to 300 to 400 industrial permitted facilities. It's an important permit. It was updated, I believe, and enacted in 2015, if I remember right. It was an update to the 97 permit, and it's an important non-point source permit for us. I think, you know, data transparency and how that data is used out there is important, but maybe at some point in the future, asking our staff for an update, we can dovetail that with some of the metrics out of the industrial permit at a State Board would be super helpful.
Okay, thanks for flagging that issue. I'll follow up with staff about those questions.
That'd be great. Mr. Corbett.
I just had one question. Do you have an update on that you can publicly state regarding State Board approaches to the whole stormwater permit decision by the California Supreme Court? And I know you've been very active, but I know that you've had to deal with the courts and EPA and your internal organization to try and solve that problem. Do you know where we are in that? Or
right, the whole unfunded mandates issue municipal stormwater. And it's working its way through the process. It's in the Court of Appeals now. And so, you know, our chief counsel, Michael Laufer, continues to be, you know, the point person in tracking that. You know, I repeat what I said earlier, you know, the last time I was here. It's any permits that have been adopted duly are enforceable, and we continue to implement the program. And so it would be speculative to say where that's all headed. But I always remind folks that stormwater infrastructure requires the same level of capital and operation and maintenance as sanitary sewer infrastructure and drinking water infrastructure, and that's the reality. And so the more we key our requirements to what makes sense in terms of infrastructure management, and then really reaping the benefits as we do in our stormwater strategy, recognizing stormwater as a resource, not as a pollutant source, that, you know, we don't have to get bogged down on unfunded mandates debates when we're talking about sound investment in our cities and counties that will lead to multiple benefits of stormwater.
I just get a lot of questions, and I just tell who people are expanding it well beyond what the court went, and I just tell them not so fast. And
there continues to be
most of the permits are going to be upheld as is.
Yeah, you know, it's best to keep working as a community, you know, at local and state level, but being fiscally responsible.
Well, Steve, thank you very much for the information. Look forward to seeing you again.
Thanks for everything.
All right, moving on. We have public forum. Public forum is an opportunity to address the board on non-agendized items. I have one speaker card for Mr. Tom Romsberg. Sorry. Of Crescent City. It's got a mind of its own. Hey, Tom, maybe turn it off. There's a little button. There's a little button on the back, Tom.
We should have a little Tesla.
How is that? Is that okay?
Yeah.
All right, let's try it. She's adjusting. Okay. Well, Chairman Corbett and members of the board, my name is Tom Romsberg. I'm a utility manager up in Crescent City. And, you know, I asked to speak to you today, and really on behalf of myself and the city. We've just gone through the renewal process on our permit, which is on consent today. But what I wanted to say to you was really do an acknowledgement. It's a long process, as you know. Takes a year. There's a lot of interaction. And I wanted to let you know that throughout that process, you know, we felt that we had the caseworker that we had assigned did a fantastic job. There was a lot of back and forth details, and so we want to acknowledge Kathy Goodwin. I think her role in it is a long process, and she did an excellent job, and I think it made what takes a lot of time beneficial. We've developed a good working relationship, and just wanted to acknowledge what staff is doing, and we look forward to you know, implementing the permit and continuing to do a good job up there and continue to improve. And that's all I wanted to tell you here today. So thank you.
Well, that's a happy story, Tom, and thank you. For one thing, thanks City of Crescent City for your that's a new plan, I believe, relatively new. I was here 5 years ago when we originally adopted that permit. You put a lot of money into that plant, I know, and there's some information about that and some of the you are on consent today, which is actually a win. It's a win for everybody. And thank you for the compliment to Kathy Godin. Kathy's work has always been stellar in my experience, too. I've always tried to trip her up, but I have never succeeded. Mr. Giusti.
Mr. Chair, Tom, I just wanted to add just your commitment. I mean, I lived in Crescent City for 5 years. I know the drive between here and there, and for you to make that six-hour drive to come down and express your gratitude is not lost on this board. Certainly we always want this kind of positive feedback to know that the system's working in everybody's behalf, not only for you as the person trying to get the job done, but for the people of Crescent City and for the people who visit Crescent City. So you know, thank you very much for making the effort to come and share. You could have easily sent a letter, and but the fact that you're here, I really thank you for your effort, and I really appreciate your time, sir. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome, and thank you.
Great. I have no other speaker cards for a public forum, so we'll move on. Next agenda item is a